Today is the 11th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we continue this journey. I guess 11 days into this month now. 11 days into the final quarter of the year. And we are well moved into the book of Jeremiah at this point. Jeremiah being the longest book in the Bible by word count. So we are navigating that together. That's the mission, right? We come around the global campfire to take the next step forward. And all of those steps put together is every book, every chapter, every verse of the Bible. So let's move forward together. Today, Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, verse 23. But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. After that I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and from the crevices of the rocks. My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. I will repay them double for their wickedness and their sin, because they have defiled my land with the lifeless forms of their vile images and have filled my inheritance with their detestable idols. Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress, to you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our ancestors possessed nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good. Do people make their own gods? Yes, but they are not gods. Therefore, I will teach them. This time I will teach them my power and might. Then they will know that my name is the Lord. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. My mountain and the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places, because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger and it will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the deserts, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and stand at the gate of the people, through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand also at all the other gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all people of Judah, and everyone living in Jerusalem who come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day, or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. Yet they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and would not listen or respond to discipline. But if you are careful to obey me, declares the Lord, and bring no load through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy by not doing any work on it, then kings who sit on David's throne will come through the gates of this city with their officials. They and their officials will come riding in chariots and on horses, accompanied by the men of Judah and those living in Jerusalem. And this city will be inhabited forever. People will come from the towns of Judah and the villages around Jerusalem, from the territory of Benjamin and the western foothills, from the hill country and the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortresses. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations. Who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by Virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Do its cool waters from distant sources ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols which made them stumble in their ways in the ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. They said, "Come, let's make plans against Jeremiah. For the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says. Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and spoke in their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. So give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death. Their young men slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them, for they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger." First Thessalonians 4, 1 through 5, 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Psalm 81. For the director of music, according to Gittith, of Asaph. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the timbrel. Play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full, on the day of our festival. This is a decree for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statute for Joseph. I heard an unknown voice say, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Proverbs 25, 6 through 8. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? Okay, so have you ever heard the phrase, God has a plan? Right, we probably all have heard that phrase many, many, many times and probably have said it many, many, many times. Usually we say this to ourselves or we say this to each other as a way to encourage each other because we face all kinds of ups and downs. And sometimes really unexpected, terrible things happen. And so God has a plan. We say this to each other. It's beyond us. His ways are higher than our ways. But does God have a specific plan for our struggles, though? And if he does, and he plans this out, is it like some kind of mystery that just simply cannot be deciphered? When we think about the plan of God, we're often not thinking about like the ultimate redemption of all things as his plan. We're generally either in a situation that we don't like and we don't want to be where we are, or we're watching somebody else go through some things, or we're watching something awful happen in the world. And so we can shake our heads and say, well, God has a plan. We don't understand God's plan, but eventually it'll all be revealed and then we'll understand. And that can be a helpful way to look at things when we don't understand. It's easy to press into that idea. God has a plan. Because then we have an excuse. If the sorrow that we're facing, if the bottom falling out of our life, and our own lives, or all around us in our communities, can all be given to God and his plan, then we don't have to be to blame for anything ever. It's God's plan. So we can look at the terrible messes that we make. We can look at even global events and say, this isn't my fault. God has a plan. Which means then that God is to blame for everything. I mean, the most famous verse in the scriptures these days is found in the book of Jeremiah that we are reading. Right? Behold, I know the plans that I have for you. And we will get there. Because we're in that book. We will get there. We'll talk about that. But we're also in the book of Jeremiah at this point. And I want to quote something from the book of Jeremiah. And this is God speaking. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. So, yeah, God has a perfect plan to restore humanity. But according to God's word, as spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, human beings also have a role to play in that plan. Our choices actually matter as people individually and as the human race. According to Jeremiah, God is willing to change his plans accordingly. And that can be a little bit disconcerting, but if we think about this biblical concept, sowing and reaping, right? Because that's something that's well documented in the scriptures. If we will reap what we sow, then we can hardly blame God for this life of weeds that we're living and say it's God's plan. Right? We cannot cultivate and plant envy or immorality or selfishness and expect the results to be God's plan, or expect that what will come up is not weeds, but instead the fruit of the Spirit. God has a plan for redemption of all things, including us. And we're invited to follow that plan. We're invited to collaborate in bringing that plan to its fullness. And this happens deeply in our personal hearts as people, but it happens as the whole body of Christ in the whole world. Like, if there's anything that we're learning in the scriptures this year, it's that God desires a relationship and expects access and collaboration with us in that relationship. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. So God's plan isn't an excuse, isn't a way for us to absolve ourselves of the choices that we make. It does not let us off the hook for being absent and not paying attention in our own lives. His plan is to redeem us, to woo us, and we might fall in love with him the way that he has fallen in love with us, and that we can be in relationship with him intimately, collaborating with him and bringing and revealing his kingdom. His plan to redeem all things. That's a fantastic plan. Are we even paying attention to the fact that we are a part of that plan? That plan is not happening to us. We are a part of it. And so, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you into that. What are we blaming on your plan that you have nothing to do with and we are the only one involved in? How are we growing weeds and thinking that it's just the plan? How are we blaming you or blaming others for what we've done? Maybe a more direct way of accessing this is to ask ourselves, how are we interfering with your plan? Come, Holy Spirit, into this. Bring the light of truth into the deepest recesses of our motivations, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base, and that can be found at the App Store that works with whatever device you're using, or tablet or phone or whatever. Whatever has an App Store. So you can check that out and kind of track your way through. Stay connected that way. While you're checking out, check out the community section. This is where to get connected. Different social media platforms that we're participating in. It is also the home of the prayer wall. And that is an important piece of being in community together, especially as there are highs and lows for each of us in our lives throughout the year. And sometimes it's a heavy load to carry, just to know that there's somebody that's on the same page, kind of in the same community, moving through the same territory right alongside you. That's a hopeful thing to know. And we have been a beautiful, prayerful, encouraging community that deeply inspires me, surprising at times, how we're just kind of in this together, trying to stay on the same page. And there's just so much negativity, so many places. It's just a beautiful thing when we just pray for each other and try to hold each other up and encourage each other. And so you can find that at the prayer wall. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. The Global Campfire is what it is because we're here together, in this together. Wouldn't be here if we weren't. Wouldn't be possible. So thank you deeply and humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Now you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Dev. This is Kristen, aka Christy Me. And I have been kind of watching the events of Hurricane Helene unfold, and I've seen the devastation, as I'm sure all of you have. I just wanted to lift these people up to you, Lord God. If y'all would just pray with me. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love and your kindness and compassion towards us. Lord, we just ask that you would be with these people that are the survivors of this devastating hurricane. Lord, I pray that you would send them comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding. Wrap them in your wings, Lord. Keep them safe from further harm. And Lord, we just are so thankful for the people that are going in there and assisting. Lord, we just pray that you would just bless the rescuers and the assisters. Lord, help them get to the people. Help them to render aid and comfort to the people that are devastated by this hurricane. Lord, help them to organize the relief efforts so that none of the items that they're getting together are stolen, or none of the money is funneled somewhere else, but let it all go to those that are in need. And we thank you, Lord God, in advance for what you're doing. And we pray this in Jesus.
This is Hands to Heaven. Liz of Western New York, I'm so sorry about the loss of your son. I buried my son in 2016. He was 32. One of the things that helped me was discovering some online groups for bereaved parents, safe places where I could go and discuss the things I was experiencing with people who had already been down that path. The ones I found most helpful were whilewerewaiting.org and thelifeididn'tchoose.com. It was a place where I could go and discuss things that were happening that I didn't understand, such as the grief brain, which sounded very similar to what you said about feeling like you were losing your mind. I encourage you to reach out. The enemy wants to keep you isolated and alone so that you can continue to feel defeated. But there is hope. Our God is an incredibly powerful redeemer. There's nothing he can't turn for our good. And I know that sounds impossible right now. It would have sounded impossible to me at that point too. But I'm living proof that it's true. It is true. So hold on to your hope. We're praying for you. This is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.
I want to pray for my ex-husband, whose health is really bad from doing drugs practically his whole life. The doctor said he only has about a year to live, so I just need to have peace about this and for him to be able to change his life somehow, or give his life to the Lord. And for my son, who's kind of been beat up by him, his dad was real abusive during this time of drugs and drinking and whatnot. I just want to pray for David, my son, and Mike, my ex-husband.
This is Forgiven Child of God, and I want to say thank you to those that call in and pray for all of our children across and around the world, specifically our daughter Emma, who was adopted at 7 and is about to be 15 this week. She has a lot of trauma still working through. But I know the prayers of all of you warriors and the hard work of therapists and God leading us to the right people is what has helped as well. I just want to say thank you. And again, thank you to those that call in and pray specifically for our children. I want to thank those that pray for our husbands as well. My husband James is still not connecting with our church community. He's not attending, which therefore my 17-year-old son is also not. As well as my two adult daughters' husbands. My adult daughters are attending church with the grandbabies by themselves. And I would just pray for our husbands, just ask for prayer for our husbands, that they be the biblical role models that our homes need. My dad is the same way. My mom and sisterhood, mother-in-law have began attending a church the last several weeks after decades of not being part of a church community. And so I just pray that our husbands would feel that leading from God to step in and fill that role that they have been destined for. I give praises and pray along with all those that come in. I love you guys. I pray you have a great day. Mm-hmm.